Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Derek Bruff, an assistant director here at the Center for Teaching. This episode continues our podcast series focusing on time-efficient teaching. Faculty at a research university like Vanderbilt must balance a number of competing demands on their time, including teaching, research, and service. For this series, we're interviewing senior faculty members at Vanderbilt and asking them to share ways they teach effectively while making good use of their time. In this episode, we feature an interview with Tim McNamara, Associate Provost for Faculty and Professor of Psychology. In the interview, Tim describes time-efficient ways to approach lesson planning, grading papers, teaching with clickers, working with TAs, and selecting courses to teach. My colleague, Allison Pingree, the director of the Center for Teaching, conducted the interview.
Thanks for being with us today, Tim.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. So, as you know, we're talking about efficient strategies, time management issues in teaching, and it would be great if you could share a couple of things that you've learned over the many years that you've been teaching and managing lots of different responsibilities, ways that you have remained an effective teacher but also managed your time well. What are some strategies?
Sure. I think if there's one thing, a principle that guided my preparation for teaching, but also scholarship, as I'll explain later, is this tension between being perfect and being productive. You have to do great work, but it can't always be perfect, especially the first time. And I think that's especially true when you're preparing for teaching. Given all the responsibilities a tenure-track faculty member has, starting a new job, the most important of which is getting his or her research or scholarly program up and going and productive. You can't spend all of your time preparing a course or two courses because you've got other things to do. And I think anybody who has the experience of preparing a course knows that, in principle, it could take all of your time and more. So you just have to limit how much time you put into the preparation of a course the first time you teach it. I think the thing to keep in mind is that you're going to be teaching the rest of your career. And you're probably going to be teaching a given course multiple times. And so when you teach it the first time, it should be really good, but it doesn't have to be perfect. So as an example, when I started my first year at Vanderbilt, I was assigned to teach an introductory graduate course on statistics. Actually, it was the second semester of the graduate statistics sequence. So it's high-level course, really smart students. I knew the material, and I TA'd the similar kind of course as a graduate student, but I've never actually taught it, so it was a new prep for me. But I was also trying to get my research going. I was writing up my dissertation for publication, trying to come up with ideas for my first grant. So the strategy I used was, well, this was a course that was taught 9:30 Tuesday and Thursday. And I would get up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning every Tuesday and Thursday and prepare my lectures. And my lecture consisted of what I could get done between 4:30 and 9:30. The course, I think, was good. It was well received, but it got better with time. It was not perfect. I ended up teaching that course 13 times, and I think by the end it was pretty well-honed, fine-tuned course that I was quite proud of. But it took, you know, a couple times to get it as good as I really wanted it. And it wasn't as good as I really wanted it the first time. And it's actually a lesson that I applied to scholarship only later in my career. I am somewhat of a perfectionist, and especially when it comes to writing papers, I can spend a lot of time getting that sentence just right and that paragraph just perfect. And what I eventually learned was that really wasn't necessary. I'm in a journal publishing field where you have a chance to submit things for publication. They get reviewed. You almost always get a chance to revise it, make improvements, and resubmit. And so the lesson I use now, I mean the model I use now when I'm writing a paper for publication is to get it good enough.
Yeah.
And then I submit it, and I let my colleagues throughout the nation advise me on how it should be improved. And over time, it turns out really good. But it's not always great, perfect the first time. I think they're all very good when I first submit them, but they may not be perfect. And it's interesting that I have subsequently learned from some very, very distinguished, productive psychologists that when they write a paper, they allot themselves a certain amount of time to do it, and they submit whatever is written in that amount of time.
Wow. So it's like the class time comes
yes.
up. At 9:30, you needed to be in front of those students no matter what, and
yes.
so that's the amount of time you had. Wow. What about grading? Is there anything about how you've approached grading or other things that once the class is underway and you've given your lectures and you get work from students, I mean, you've taught some large, really
yeah.
large courses. Is there anything about that?
You know, that's a good question. I can't really think of any strategies I used for grading other than some obvious things. So like when I was grading papers, before I would start in on writing detailed comments on essays, and this would be smaller courses,
right.
not big lecture courses.
Right.
I would always skim or read quickly all the papers in advance so that I'd get some idea what the range was, what the problems were in general, what the strengths were in general, what I was likely to see as I worked through the papers. And then I'd go back and start reading each paper closely and commenting on it. I'm not sure that was the most time-efficient way to grade, but I found it to be effective because it gave me a conceptual framework to use when I started grading the papers in detail.
One thing that I know some people may be resistant to that you have chosen to do in your teaching is to use clickers. I think for some people it feels like, wow, that's just added time to get up to speed with them, to figure out the questions, time taken away from in class. Would you say that how do you think about the calculation of the cost and benefit of clickers in terms of time management?
Yeah, I am by no means an expert in using clickers. I think I used them two or three times teaching introductory psychology, and that was towards the end of the period where I was still teaching full time. I thought they were fantastic, and they do take some, you do have to invest some time, learn how to use them and get them incorporated effectively in your course. But the results, I think, are well worth the effort. And I was able to elicit discussions in very large classes of 200 to 250 students in a way that I would difficult or impossible to do using standard questioning techniques.
So it wasn't necessarily a time saving. It didn't necessarily save you time.
No, I don't think it.
Grading or student feedback or.
Well, I guess in one way it might have saved me some time in that I was able to use them as really short pop quizzes in class we didn't grade, but at the same time gave me a chance to get a sense of what the students knew and what they didn't know and where the problems might be in their understanding of material. So instead of actually taking 15, 20 minutes or even longer to give an exam, we could throw out two or three questions, get answers right then, get them the results displayed up on the overhead screen immediately.
Right.
And I'd have immediate feedback on how the class was going, at least from the learning end.
Right, right. And then not have to have all these quizzes to grade
get
back and everything. To what extent have you worked with TAs? And you know, that's another thing that I think could be either be a time sink or a time gain, depending on. And for new faculty, for junior faculty, sometimes it's tricky to learn how to work well with TAs because they haven't either been a TA in some cases, or they certainly haven't worked with TAs as a professor. Any ideas about time management and TAs?
I think the most important thing with teaching assistants is that you spend a little time in advance of the course with each of them, making sure they understand what the course goals are, mm-hmm. what the methods you're going to be using in that course to try to convey the material, how the students are going to be graded, and so forth, what the standards will be mm-hmm. for various levels of performance in the course. Because you want, you know, the TAs are a resource for the students, and you want to make sure that you and your TAs are all on the same page and have the same goals in mind as the course progresses. You don't want to have to go back and correct what a TA might have told a student or a group of students because he or she sort of misunderstood mm-hmm. what you were trying to accomplish or where the course was headed and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, is that a time saver? I think it probably is. I mean, it's a lot easier to invest some time at the beginning and make sure that your teaching assistants really understand what you're trying to accomplish in the course than to let them try to figure that out on their own during the course and, you know, get corrected and you have to go back and fix mistakes and so on.
Yeah, that's very, very good.
And some other strategies, more general strategies, I think apply both to preparing courses. Well, especially preparing courses, is limit the number of new preps.
Right.
I know. When I was a beginning assistant professor, I looked at the curriculum in psychology. Oh, I could add this course and that course and this course. No, we should change that one. And if I let that, you know, run wild, I'd be redesigning the entire curriculum. My first year as an assistant professor, this is not an effective strategy. So you need to hold back and pick. A beginning assistant professor needs to hold back. Pick two or three, maybe four courses, depending on one's field, and try to teach those, you know, cycle through those repeatedly. So not only do you limit the number of new preps, but you also get multiple tries at teaching each course and multiple attempts to make the course better.
Mm-hmm. That makes eminently good sense.
And you also have to limit distractions. And email is a big one these days. Fortunately, back then, email didn't exist, so I didn't have to worry about email. I just shut my door, and that was the end of it.
How do you now work with
email? You shut the door and you turn off email. You just have, when you need to work on a paper, a book, a lecture, discussion questions for a seminar, whatever you're working on, reduce your distractions as much as you can. And the best way, one of the best ways nowadays to do that is just turn your email off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you can spend enormous amounts of time answering email, thinking you're being productive, when in fact you're not getting anything done but responding to email. And email doesn't turn into papers, it doesn't turn into good lectures, it doesn't help students learn most of the time. If you have students emailing you, you can answer them later.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I think unless you have anything else that occurs to you to...
The only thing I would add is that I loved being an assistant professor.
Mm.
I really did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did my research, I taught my courses, I met with students. My life was so simple. I often want it back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a really helpful perspective.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Tim McNamara, Associate Provost for Faculty and Professor of Psychology on the topic of time-efficient teaching. I would like to thank Tim for taking time to speak with the Center for Teaching for this podcast. In the show notes for this episode, you'll find links to Tim McNamara's homepage, as well as links to Center for Teaching resources on designing lectures and supervising TAs. If you have any comments or questions about this episode, please visit our blog located at blogs.vanderbilt.edu/CFTpodcast and let us know your thoughts. We're interested in hearing your strategies for effective yet time-efficient teaching. Vanderbilt instructors interested in discussing any aspect of their teaching are invited to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant. We're glad to help you reflect on and explore the various choices you make as a teacher and to connect you with resources you'll find useful as you design, implement, and assess learning experiences for your students. I've been your host, Derek Bruff. Thanks for listening.